Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's Dr. Elisa, and I'm doing an episode of Metaphysical Mamas. I have this idea for this show and for a group that I lead online and in live in person here in the wilds of Maplewood, New Jersey, as the life coach, the coach that is the guru of loving yourself, all those things that I bring to this life coaching world. But Metaphysical Mamas really strikes really close to my heart. You know, I'm a mother. I have a son, beautiful 9-year-old boy who I'm so proud of and so grateful to have the opportunity to be his mom. And all the challenges that go along with that, you know, this morning challenge, I let him sleep in a little bit, and he actually was a little bit late to school because he has basketball practice that goes late, and then he's, you know, he's all energized from that and hungry, and he doesn't get to bed till later than I like him to go to bed the night before. And so sometimes I let him sleep in a little bit of lateness for school doesn't really bother me, especially on days when they're not doing much, which is today is one of those half days and not a lot's going on. Anywho, Metaphysical Mamas is really about understanding and getting comfortable with being the quote-unquote different kind of mom, allowing your kid to have more freedom, really encouraging them to make choices for themselves and listen to their inner guidance. You know, I absolutely am an adherent to the teachings of Abraham Hicks. And a lot of what they talk about is inner guidance, and that's that we all are equipped, and kids in particular, before they get influenced by so many of our societal norms, really are, you know, closely tied into their own guidance about what works for them, what's right for them, that kind of stuff. But it goes very quickly. My kid's 9, and, you know, in some ways I feel like his hold on his and trusting of himself is tentative, because, and you know, he's only been on Earth 9 years, but it doesn't really take long. There's lots of powerful influences on kids, but you know, I actively work with him to get him to make decisions for himself, to make decisions about what he likes and what he doesn't like, to follow his own instincts, and still live as a member of our household society and society as a whole. You got to do both. You got to be able to bridge both of those. So the other day he came home and had a little sad face, and he said, "I want to talk to you about something, Mom. I want to have a conversation with you." And while that's not totally unusual, he was pretty formal in his request to me. And so, of course, I took it seriously. I said, "Oh, good, I want to talk to you about a couple things, too." And he said, you know, the kids get that wary look on their face like, "Oh, I'm in trouble." You know, the things I had to discuss with him were not trouble. And so he was a little bit relieved, and he made me go first. And then he kind of paused, and I was like, "What's going on?" He said, "I think I'd just rather write my question down than ask you, because it's more... sometimes it's more emotional when you just start talking." I said, "You can if you like, but, you know, we're going to talk about it anyway. But if you want to write it down," and of course it's an opportunity for him to write and read and think. And of course, I encourage all those opportunities, especially the ones he thinks of himself, as opposed to me enforcing or the school enforcing that he be learning, quote unquote. So he wrote down the following: "I am going back to SMC." Now, my son, you may or may not know this story, but my son, I took him out of regular public school last year for this year and sent him to an alternative school, which is a Democratic free school here in our town. And, you know, for me, the opportunity to do that really is tied to what I opened up talking about, which is, you know, to develop in him the ability to choose for himself, make decisions, advocate for himself, stand up for himself, and just, you know, follow his own interests. And while I think he got a huge amount out of that experience, he decided toward the end of last year, so about 3 months into the school year, that he really wanted to go back to his former school because he missed his friends and he felt, I want to learn in a more traditional way. And I allowed this because I felt like, there were certain issues in the school, but there's certain issues in any school you go to. So that really wasn't the driving factor for me. But really, to get him, he achieved my goal for him in that school, which was to be able to choose, and he chose. But then, we are one, two, a couple months into him being back in the new school, and he's saying he wants to go back to the alternative school, and immediately, and so he writes, "I am going back to SMC," and he says, "Yes or no? Do you want me to tell you why?" This is what he wrote in the note for me, and I immediately knee jerk because I'm not perfect with this metaphysical guide yourself thing. My knee jerk was to say no, and part of the reason I said that was because I think sort of moving back and forth between systems is a little disruptive for him, let alone the system, which I don't really care about. Systems are okay, but I was like, stay the course. But then I said, okay, wait, let's talk about it for sure. You said, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. And he talked about sort of not liking how his teacher is, from his perspective, sort of uneven in his punishments, that he yells too much. He's not a big fan, kid's not a big fan of yelling. And he also talked really about feeling empathy for some other kids who are struggling in the class. He says, not really me, but some other kids, doesn't seem fair and whatever. And I said, okay, well, those are good reasons. And I think my son, I think as his parents, we have to take a lot of credit for this. He tends to, like a lot of people, sort of default to the negative of a situation. If a situation is challenging, of course you look at the negative things. But I think the thing you learn as a, as a metaphysician or as somebody who understands laws of the universe, that your focus really matters and what you focus on really matters, and those things grow. And so, one technique I use frequently myself is to write down positive aspects of things. So even things that are challenging to me or that I don't like, or and in particular things that I do like and situations that I do like, I try to look for the positive aspects and I write them down. So if you see me somewhere and I'm just writing, 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 it may be I'm just writing down lists of things that are good, because I think that helps. It helps energize the good things in those things that you're focused on, and it just raises your energy around good things. And so as we were talking, I said, is there anything, because he started out sort of going down this road of things he doesn't like, and this is, so these people are mean, and this is blah, 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 I don't like this, whatever. And I said, are there things that you like at your school? And at first he didn't have anything. He's kind of like, no. And I said, really? So there's no one there that you like. Not one person is nice to you. There's not one subject that you like. And he said, oh, well, maybe. I said, do you want me to write it down? And he said, yeah. And kids love to be engaged with us. We're their parents. They love us. And mine, he loves anything where we're sort of working on something together. And so, I took paper and pen on the back of the note he wrote me about changing schools back. And I wrote down, the name of his school at the top, positive aspects. What are good things about this place? And he just started listing them off. He said, art, phys ed, recess, lunch, and those are the first few things he said. And, again, I had to censor my parent mind competitive achievement mind that, you know, I think we develop as Americans and as parents and all sorts of people who are competitive. Like, what about math? What about English? So I didn't say anything. And then he sort of paused, and I said, okay, is that it? Do you have any friends or people you like? And he said, okay, Leah, Jemiah. I like my new recorder. I like music class. I like Mr. Brandon. I like writing. I like our Chromebooks and our iPads. I like Free Time Friday. I like Miss Rombell. I like Miss J. I like Homework Club. I like our Native American projects. Google Slides, Google Presentation, Google Docs, Raz Kids, ST Math. I like basketball. I like Miss O'Neill. I like my friend Neil. I like reading. I like my friend Lucas. I like Outside Recess. I like the auditorium. I like my friends. I like Miss Latimer. I like library. I like dissecting projects. I like half days. I like Miss Pomares. I like substitutes on test days. And as he sort of created this list, he really, I could feel in myself, and I asked him, and he was a little more vague on it, but he sort of confirmed it. I could really feel like the energy around this issue shift. And, you know, it was about, maybe we're talking about 10 minutes. It didn't take very long. Making the list wasn't a very long process. But just for a little focused effort of myself as his mother, not criticizing where he was with the issue, not trying to make it better, not trying to fix it, but really getting him to do the work of recasting the situation and having a different sort of perspective on the situation really did make a difference in terms of how that energy changed around this issue. Now, school's someplace he needs to go. I'm definitely not a homeschooling parent. I got stuff to do. And, you know, as a single parent, sort of by default single parent, you know, I have to have time to both be his parent and take care of him and take care of the rest of the stuff I have to take care of. And so the more I can equip him to tend to his own vibration, I don't know how to describe it other than that, but to be really understand how much in control he is of his own life experience, how powerful he is, what a powerful creator he is, how he can manifest things. He's very, very, very good at manifesting things that he likes, and also making sure he spends time with me, even when I've got other plans. Sometimes the plans change because his intention is so strong to make it otherwise. So the kid's powerful, and my goal is to make sure that he really understands that and that there's nothing standing in his way to have the life that he wants. You know, as a metaphysical mama, I think that's my job, is to really empower this kid and to not even directly empower him, because that's his choice, but to give him the tools to make sure that he's empowering himself all the time and understanding who he is and what he can have in this world. It's a hard job. It's not easy to be this different kind of mom, but it's worth it. So again, this is Dr. Lisa. You can always call in on the show, 347-856-3828. Take that down. That number doesn't change. On any of the radio shows I do, you can call in and ask questions and talk to me so I don't just have to talk to myself, although I like to do that too sometimes. Yeah, it's a half day, so he'll be home soon, so I'm going to sign off now. But you can always check me on my two websites, californiaeast.net, which is the home private meditation coaching studio if you're local in the northern New Jersey area or want to drive. You can always come here and check out the class schedule, Orgasmic Living, www.orgasmicliving.com, O-H-G-A-S-M-I-C. See you next time.